bit of prayer before I get started. Dear Lord, thank you for today and the opportunity we have to come and spend time with others in your fellowship. We thank you that you're excited to tell us more about yourself each and every day. Thank you for your faithfulness in me, and that I do have a testimony to tell. And thank you for the faithfulness of for everyone else in this room. I pray that as I share my story, people will also reflect on their own and see how you've worked in their hearts too. In your name we pray, amen. All right. So as has been mentioned, my name is Emily. I'm very keen to share with you tonight. I'm one of the interns here at Seeds this year, and that's why I'm here, up here sharing with you tonight. So thanks so much for coming out. If you knew I was speaking or not, either way, I'm keen to see you. So I'm hoping my story is some sort of encouragement to you. Just before I do start getting into a little bit more deeper stuff, I'm just going to give you a bit of a rundown on who I am. So I'm currently studying social work at Flinders. I've nearly finished my first semester, and I have a lot more to go. It's a four-year course, so we've got a while. I also lead here at XS on a Friday night. I lead the Year 9 Girls Small Group with Jamie and Abby, two other leaders who are phenomenal, and it is one of the biggest privileges I have is to spend time with them and partner in the Lord with the Lord in his work in their lives. They are like great kids, and Friday nights are easily the highlight of my week. If you haven't been to an XS service, I would seriously recommend coming along to one of our open nights or one of our baptisms. Like, it'd be great to see you, to come and see what we're all about as well. Apart from Jesus and the church, one of my other loves is sport. I love sport. I'm not necessarily very good at playing it, but I have really taken to watching it. And I'm a huge AFL fan, and I love the NBA as well. I'm a huge Crows fan, probably bordering on diehard at this stage. And I'm also a Denver Nuggets fan in the NBA. Super random and a little bit odd, but the way I actually became a Denver fan is one day I was like, oh man, you know what? I'm going to follow the NBA. And when I do things, I just like go all in. So my very gracious boyfriend decided to make me this nuts spreadsheet on Excel, and I got to rank every team on very unrelated basketball stuff, like Instagram vibe. What were their colours were? What's their logo like? How much of a bandwagoner will I be if I like jump on this team? And so somehow I ended up with the Denver Nuggets, who are the most unbandwagonable team available. But they are they are a great time. But if you do want to talk basketball, I'm actually down. So and the last thing before I get into it is I actually do talk really fast normally, and I'm going to try really, really hard to talk slowly, but please drop some not so subtle hints if you don't know what I'm saying, because I'll slow down for you. I've never really shared my testimony like this before. I've shared bits and pieces here and there to different groups of people at different stages during my life, but never on a stage or with a microphone, so we'll see how it goes. It did feel a little bit weird writing this. You all coming to church to hear me speak about me. A little bit arrogant, but this is definitely a story about how God has worked through me. And the overarching theme is definitely his faithfulness in my life and how he has just pursued me constantly with like different people as well as the Holy Spirit. So I did grow up in a home where we came to church on Sundays for quite a long time there. And that was awesome, but kind of how my relationship with the Lord started was when I was about 12-ish. I'm not really confident of the actual age. I have quite a bad memory, and it was just a bit of a rough time as well, so I can't decide which one it was that made me forget. But my parents actually got divorced, but more specifically, my dad decided to leave. And a very long story short, he decided to move to Sydney for a number of reasons, but it broke me a lot. And I like had and now have a fairly good relationship with my dad, but I couldn't understand why he would choose to leave. In my eyes, we had a really good life. I went to a good school. I had a great family, and we chose to do things together. We went to church on a Sunday and we had a spa. Like, honestly, what more could you want? Over the next few years, a lot of things stayed the same. Like, I have a great mom and my sister, and we all have a really good relationship with each other. But a lot of things did start to change. We moved out of the house with a spa, unfortunately. I finished primary school and I started at Emmaus, and I also started coming to XS. And like so many people, my faith journey really did get a bit of a kickstart when I started coming to XS. Like, I cannot even describe to you what coming to XS was like every week. It was like incredible and just so consistent. People were there every week and they wanted to speak to me and they wanted to invest in my life. And I got to like know who Jesus was. And the people that were telling me about him seemed so different from the people that I'd known from when I was quite young at church, but also through the two Christian schools that I'd been to. Like, I'd never seen anything like it. I just, like, remember one time thinking, I was like, oh, man, why are these people, like, glowing? Like, what's going on? Like, I just want this. And one person who made a significant difference in my life and choice to follow Jesus was Jazz Peters. She's not here tonight. Hopefully she's winning some sort of sport at SYG. But, like, if you don't know her, please know her. Like, I can honestly say without any shadow of a doubt, like, I would not be who I am without her input in my life. Like, she is incredible. She was the first person I had told about my parents' divorce and how I was feeling. And I was feeling really broken. Keep in mind that I only met Jazz about 2 years after it happened. And I hadn't told any of my friends. A lot of people knew what was going on, but it certainly was not from me telling them. At the time, I definitely lived by the notion that crying was for the weak and I was going to be really strong. Hindsight's a great thing, and that was very silly and definitely incorrect, but my 13-year-old self believed it so hard. So I bottled everything up and all my emotions and my feelings, and one night at XS, I like erupted. And I just like gave everything about the last like 2 years, everything was going on, to Jazz, and huge kudos to her, because when I was a little high schooler, like, she often gave me exceptional advice and I literally never took it. I was so stuck in a cycle of like, woe is me, like, my life is so hard, like, no one's got it harder than me, like, I just couldn't get past it, and I was just like, I get to be angry at this, like, this is my right, like, yeah, I was stuck in a cycle of just, like, some quite negative thoughts, and things weren't going great for me. Around this time, though, like, I was starting to get the whole God and Jesus thing, and I just really wanted to live like the people I was seeing at church. They just loved Jesus, and I wanted that too, so I got baptized. I cannot thank the Lord enough for the people he put in my life around that time. They were so faithful to what he was saying to them and chose to act on it. And how that has impacted my life has literal eternal impacts. So, like, can I please just urge you that don't give up on the people around you. I am such a product of what people not giving up on someone can look like. The Holy Spirit and the Lord have done so much work in me, but it did get kick-started through the work of his people. Now that you kind of understand a little bit of my story and where I'm coming from, I'm just going to share about two kind of prominent areas that God has really worked a lot of stuff out through me. I heard a sermon during high school one night at XS, and I can't really remember too many details of what I was being taught, but the concept was God is our Father. And this concept was way too much for me. Like, how could God possibly be my Father? And if he is my Father, I don't need two people to leave me. I don't need one more person to walk out of my life. And that is exactly what I thought. That was like how I assumed dads were. And so when I heard that God was going to be my dad as well, and he is my Father, I didn't want it. It didn't make sense. And I just left it and assumed it was something that I would never understand because of who my earthly dad was. But God is so good and he is so faithful, and he was never going to leave me with this misconception for long. In Ephesians 1:3-6, it talks about us being adopted sons and daughters in him, and that I was predestined for me to be a daughter of the Lord. That before creation, I was destined to be his daughter. After reading that, I was pretty much in, but I did want to know more. But just like the thoughts around, like, what if I actually am a daughter of God? And if this is who I am, what does that look like? But I did want to learn a bit more, so I got into the Bible, great place to start. And here are some of the examples that I found looking back through my journal from the time. One was John 1:12, and it says, "But those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God." Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith," sons or daughters. Romans 8:16 says, "For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, 'You are God's beloved child.'" 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters." And then finally, Galatians 4:7 says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." And I was sold. Like, there is no confusion. I know exactly where I sit with the Lord. He is my father, my dad, and he is good. Shane said this one, and I found it very helpful. It says, "God is not the reflection of our earthly father. He is the perfection of it. God chose me when my dad didn't, and he continually chooses me day after day. He is for me, and he is good. He stays true on his promises, and he loves relentlessly. There is no dad on earth, good or bad, that is offering what our heavenly father does. He is the perfect father who wants the best for his children." And I trust that. If I am aligning myself to God and what he says, and he says that I'm his daughter, what does that mean for me? And if I'm living in this love that triumphs all, like, I couldn't keep acting the way I was. At the time where I was kind of working all this sort of stuff out, I was struggling with a lot of anger. I was a really, really angry and like pent up teenager, and my mum was pretty worried, for fair reason, about how I was kind of spiraling. I was pretty good at hiding my anger when I wasn't at home, but I would just get home, and if I had a bad day, or even if something really insignificant had happened, but something had pent up kind of before that, it would just set me off. I was not coping very well, and I was not coping as well as I thought I was. And after one phone call with my dad that didn't go very well, I just lost it. I ended up trying to like pick up my mattress off my bed and throw it, and I'm tiny and weak, so obviously it didn't go very well, but like nothing was safe in my room. If I could get it and pick it up, there's a good chance that I would throw it. That's when I realized that this had got to stop. Like, I could not keep doing this to myself, but I also couldn't keep getting angry for like the people around me. Like, my younger sister Soph, who is incredible, she was often had the raw end of the deal and would get a lot of my wrath. But again, God is faithful and he comes through, and he started me teaching me about who I was, and I certainly was not anger. Romans 6:6 says that, "Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power." My sinful nature was nailed to that cross when Jesus was crucified. Amen. I actually had no reason to choose to be angry. Jesus had already beaten death. There was nothing stopping me from choosing to be free from that. Like, the truth will set you free. And the truth is that Jesus had already beaten anger for me. I just had to step into an identity that believed it. The Bible says a whole lot of things about who I am, but being angry is not one of them. But this is what it does say about us. It says that we are set free. In Romans 8:12, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." It says that we are holy and blameless. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." I think I just blended two verses. That might have happened. Just hold up, we're going to go back. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, "We are holy and blameless, and just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." And then Ephesians 1:7 says that we are redeemed and forgiven. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." In Ephesians 2:13, it says that we are near to the Lord. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Philippians 3:20 says that we are citizens of heaven. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And finally, "We are compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Colossians 3:12 says, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Surprisingly, the Bible does not tell me that I'm anger, and that's because I'm not, and neither are you. I don't really get angry anymore, and praise God, but I can get really frustrated at things, especially like the Crows losing by 91 points. But I can choose to no longer be angry because that is not part of my design. That is not part of my identity. Anger is just not one single part of me because I'm filled with the Lord. That's weird. I know I keep saying this, but God is so faithful. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "God is forever faithful, and we can trust to do this in you. For he has invited you to co-share the life of his son, Jesus, our King." God has been such a consistent theme in my life. And looking back, it's really easy to see all the times he's worked. Through me personally, through his Holy Spirit, all the people's around me life. That is, I've chosen and can see how it's impacted me. But I can get that it's really easy to just say no to God and walk away from one when things aren't as easy as you thought they should be. There have been many times when I could have decided that it's easier to be angry at my situation because it isn't fun and I deserve to be angry. The world tells me that I get to be angry at this. This situation, the outcome is for me to be angry and to not agree with what's going on and just like be angry, and that's okay. But I can assure you, the fruits of a life lived with Jesus is eternally better than anything else. Nothing is going to sustain you like Jesus will. And being angry is really tiring, and it certainly isn't fulfilling either. I spent a lot of time asking God, why I had to be the one to deal with my dad leaving, about the emotions and the situations that came from that. And honestly, asking is probably a pretty nice way to put it. But I'm starting to see why. And whilst I don't completely get it, I do know that God makes all things for good. I have got to connect in with some girls at Excess that are going through some similar things. And I can hopefully be someone that shows them that it actually does work out okay. Like, I would never have had that opportunity if my life didn't turn out and is turning out the way it is. I actually also get to use it in uni a lot. Social work, they love this term, lived experience, which is basically you being able to relate to the client because you've been through a similar situation, and honestly, super helpful for my assignments. There is a great quote from Bill Johnson that says, "My responsibility is to obey, to surrender my heart and yield myself to the will of God. It is in the process of obedience that we gain understanding. You can't get the peace that passes understanding until you give up your right to understand." There has been so many times in my life where it could have gone either way, but praise the Lord that I chose to go His way. Just going to wrap up. Thank you guys all so much for coming this evening and giving up a little bit of your long weekend. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great Monday, hopefully not going to work. I hope my story has been encouraging to you. Like, just how good is it that we get to be His children who have been made holy and blameless? Maybe these are some new concepts for you, but maybe they aren't, and this is just a nice refresher. But it does really make a difference to who we are when we know who He is. So thank you, everyone.